In the official section film, Gone Fishing, we have with us Carlos Sorín, the director, and the actor Alejandro Aguada, and the producer Matías Mosterín. Please close the door if you'd be so kind. Close the door, please. First question is there in the center, please. Hi, good afternoon. Hi, Carlos, I would like to ask you about Patagonia and that landscape which in so many of your films you've addressed is showing like a type of Arcadia where there's always good feelings with very noble people that and characters. What inspires you with Patagonia and what's it been like? Because your last two films, if I don't recall, in La Ventana, whether it was in Patagonia, no, it was close to Patagonia, but it wasn't Patagonia itself. The truth is, the landscape or the context in which my stories take place is an accessory. Patagonia, which has it's really beautiful with enormous deserts and beautiful skies. And unending roads is a danger because one can fall upon the temptation of being very decorative in my film. But my films, the truth be said, I try to use homeopathic doses of the Patagonian landscape because the true landscape are the faces, are the way people look. And that's the landscape really for me. In any case, Patagonia, I'm like Leo Messi in Barcelona. It's as if I'm a native. To film in Buenos Aires, everybody says yes, but it has another advantage. Patagonia, when I film, is 2,500 kilometers from Buenos Aires, and quite often I film in places where there aren't any mobile phone coverage. There's no the internet. One doesn't receive any emails, and this makes it the shooting of the film like a sort of a spiritual retreat, and one concentrates much more on the film. I think it not only happens to me, but also to the actors and even the technical crew. The film throughout the weeks that we filmed in the south of the country is the only element and the axis upon which we rotate. Hi. A couple of questions. One is, why fishing and not any other hobby? And secondly, how did you prepare the script? How you've tried to tell a story which initially is quite simple, but complex. Why? I chose fishing because I chose fishing. If I've chosen something else, well, you'd have asked me why something else. But this story comes from deep in the past. It's subsequent to Historias Minimas, minimal stories. That's prior to this, the relationship of a father and a daughter separated for a long time for many reasons. That story was called Pediápolis, and it took place in Buenos Aires. But then it changed, and it was called The Fishing Sharks in Southern Seas, and took place in Patagonia. And then I went to the north of Argentina, and it's gone back down south. So therefore it demonstrates the important thing is the soul and the core of the film, shall we say. And also the character originally was not an ex-alcoholic. Originally he was a person who had almost terminal disease, and he wanted to put things in order before leaving this life. The alcoholic, well, this emerged first of all because of reading Carlsberg's books, which is I read a lot, and also it's quite moving to see those people who fall into some sort of addiction, be it cocaine or whatever it is, and tries to leave it and try to get out of it and try to recover all of those things that he or she destroys and loses throughout that journey through alcohol or drugs. That moves me, and I do things about films that move me. If they don't move me, it's very improbable that it will move the audience. It's changed quite a lot, this film, but it's the script that essentially father and son, or father and daughter in this case, is the soul of the film, the relationship. Well, you can leave your wife, you can leave your girlfriend, but you can't leave your children. These are relations that one establishes for one's entire life. Carlos, bearing in mind that this film seems to represent your return to Patagonia for the last 25 years, you say it's your cinematographic home after a couple of films where you immigrated from this so-called home. I would like to know whether, to a certain extent, this is reflected in the need that the protagonist of the film of going back to his roots, whether you see there's any relationship there with your story. I didn't think about it, but it's a possible and a valid reading of what you're saying. The character does return with the excuse of going fishing. Well, generally fishing and large shark fishing is done in the south, but that's an excuse for the character. Obviously, the important thing is not going fishing, but it's to meet up again with his daughter, who he'd lost his relationship with many years back. But I suspect that it's true. The character wants to change air, change atmosphere, change environment and context. He wants to leave his day-to-day, normal, run-of-the-mill things and go to Patagonia, which is full of wind, and it's much more refreshing. To a certain, I think, I didn't think about it. It is a possible reading of, as regards to what you're saying. You could possibly read it that way. Hi, over here. Can you see me? Well, congratulations. I like the film. It's quite good. And I would like to ask you, I've already asked you that the landscape is more or less in your films you use a bit of a lot of the same landscape, but you've used actors that are not actors in this film, like, for example, the boxing coach. And also, I see, he's a relative, one of your brothers, and even the son, it's my grandson. What an actor, eh? And I've seen in the credits it said Sorin, so imagine it's a grandson. Oh, you're very young to have a grandson. No, I'd like to know whether the actors are actors or whether people from the audience, like El Bombón, the dog, and they were actors. Well, in the film, in fact, there's a mixture of actors, very, very good actors, with non-actors. In general, the non-actors don't play a role. They act as well. The boxing coach is a boxing coach. The boxer is a boxer. The Colombians are Colombians who are going through the fishing fishing guide is the fishing guide. And when one works with non-actors, obviously, I don't give them a dialogue. They say what they want. I show. And then it's treated in editing. When we work with non-actors that are very spontaneous, it's very fresh the way they. It's very important that the actors, and he can say, can drop their tone of voice, because interpreting is not like life. Or playing a role, they play a role like in film, but if there's a non-actor, immediately you notice is that they're acting. And you can say this as well. So therefore, you need an actor mainly who's very generous at the same. He has to be very generous and can help those people that in their day, they've never had a camera in front of them. They've never gone, they've got been on stage. So therefore, for them, it's quite a lot of stress. Well, I was quite fortunate. And you've got to be very patient, yes, to see if anything comes out of all of this. Hi, I'd like to ask Carlos Sorin, as well as Alejandro Awada, what I'm interested in, I'm over here, by the way. Sorry, the idea of a character who turns throughout his life in someone who damages those people who he wants to, the people he loves, and he wants to recover. That's sometimes we hurt the people we love. Can you develop that issue? I understand that there's a before and an after. I understand that Marco hit the bottom of the barrel, and he's right down in the depths. And when he's almost 50. He wants to turn things around, as if changing, moving the helm, and turn into his life into a bit more beautiful. I understand that for that, it's of utmost importance to start reconciliating himself with him, with himself, and to deal with the most beautiful thing, the true affections, which is the most beautiful thing that life has. But here also something happens, which is quite clear, which is the presence of a grandson. And what happens later? I don't know. I understand that Carlos doesn't know either. But I do understand and I wish that things will go well for Marco, the character in the film. At least to him, that he embraced the possibility of having a beautiful life, which is born fundamentally with the claim and the meeting with the master. And says the most important thing in life is affection, true affection. Carlos, perhaps it's an anecdote, it's interesting in the script in Bolivia, for example. I'm Bolivian. Bolivia appears in two elements. One is a South American paradise, like in Cake Titicaca, and then there's this boxer who looks like Evo Morales, who is up there at 4,000 meters above sea level, that starts to box in the Patagonia. It's an image, it's a character that breaks down with the stereotype that Bolivians have in Argentina, because they always work as servants and as workers. How did these characters of the boxer, for example, who's Bolivian? Well, I started to have a sketch, an idea, a draft in a script. No, it's like a little draft. It's a storyboard, and that's the story, where that's the way it's going, or the storyline. And so therefore, immediately after I commenced casting before finishing the script with the actors and the non-actors. And then I write the script, which is, once I've got the group, the ensemble, the casting, I know how they speak, I know what they like, and I know how they feel. And then obviously the book is also quite different to the book, and the dynamics of when I shoot in order chronologically, because I start to find, I think we all start to find, slowly but surely find the film, it undergoes modifications and changes, and some are favorable, and I suppose some of them are not. Hi, a question for Carlos and another one for Alejandro. Carlos, I would like to ask you that, you're over here. Before the Toronto Film Festival, you said that you were still very tense prior to premiering a film. What did you feel like here in San Sebastian, that you've done very well here, whether you're more relaxed or not? No, exactly the same. No. The big film festivals for us who do cinema at the end of the world, so to speak, it's a window which is absolutely indispensable and incredible at the same time. But this doesn't mean that I'm not tense and under pressure and stress, especially in the Cursal with that huge cinema theater and being right at the back there. I'm a bit nervous. I know that I've come 10 times to San Sebastian, I'm going to always feel the same thing. And that's because one has a personal commitment with a film. One makes a film not in a standard way, in a routine way. So therefore, each film is a new universe, so to speak, with its fears included. And what? No, it's exactly the same. I'm probably even worse. I'm more stressed out. Alejandro, I wonder, ask you, what was it like to construct a film, a character who that works with small gestures and more than grandiloquent sort of words and dialogues? I've just found out, Juan Carlos Sorina, I think I saw all his films, a man who I admire and respect. The script came to me, or I received the script, and in the script, Carlos Sorin was there wholeheartedly, and I understood the universe, or the intention of trying to understand that universe that he had written in the script, of these little gestures and those little moments and instant moments of time. And I was in the obligation of reading Carlberg. I had to. It was almost an obligation, almost compulsory. There was empathy between Sorin and Carlberg within capturing the instant, the moment, that little moment, almost in a moment where there's no noise and no sound. I had to use instruments with the gestures and with the construction of interior worlds. I had to be austere. I had to be precise. I had to play the note exactly at every given little moment. And that was my work at the hand of a master that undoubtedly said, take me wherever you want and we can go wherever you want. And here I am. There's something that Alejandro says that in the film, at least that's what I wanted to do. That is, say, what is not said is much more important than what is said. That is, say, what is hidden is much more essential. That's why the silences, silence for me is much more eloquent than using words. Words are, can always fool you. And the film, that's my wager. And generally, in most of my films, a silence, a look, a glance this way, it has the advantage of ambiguity, so therefore allows the audience to work upon it and think about it. And then it's also an in-depth look. I have an actor, and that's why I chose him, who's got an exceptional look. The way he looks is the soul of how people perform and convey feelings in cinema, undoubtedly. The truth is, oh, the questions have already been asked. I wanted to congratulate Alejandro because I think he played a magnificent role, and I hope he wins an award for his performance. Mr. Sorina, I'd like to ask you what the formula in your cinema, because there are constant elements that emerge. You choose a main actor, sadness, and his life breaks to falls to pieces, very similar to the character of Bonbon the dog, with the difference that he was a non-actor, if I recall correctly. I'd like to say that, do you believe you're going to fall into a certain sort of routine or the Coldo Sorin formula? That works, by the way, it works very well. It's a risk. I always think about that. The previous film worked because it worked, and if it didn't work because it didn't work, we always run the risk of repeating oneself. So sometimes they say, well, no, it's a bit the same as the last one. And they say it's a kind of style, and one knows, doesn't know which way to go. I tried to lead the style violently in the last film, making a suspense and genre film, but I'm an imposter. I'm not a suspense filmmaker. I can, because I'm very professional, but I never know what to do. The only firm piece of land that I step on when I wrote this, it's that I'm interested in what I'm telling the story, that something moves me, that something's not indifferent. That's the only firm earth that I stand upon when I start to think. I always say, well, I repeat, but it works very well, but it didn't work well before in the past. Well, I don't repeat myself, but that's not my problem. The only point, which is I'm 100% certain about, is that I'm talking about something that interests me. So therefore, it's quite possible it may interest others or not. But if it doesn't interest me, obviously it's not going to interest others, and the audience even less so.
Bien, ¿alguna pregunta más, por favor?
Any further questions? Yes, it seems. Talk about these non-actor characters that you've found, because there are some, like the manager from Cordoba, or the Conconcho Godoy. Those are very, very interesting. These are characters that I find on the way. It's like a small database of characters. Any of you can play a character in my future films, if need. Pococho, an ex-world champion of the flyweights, and I met him after one single fight in Mexico, and he lost his belt, but he didn't return the belt because he was proud of it. And he still has it, because the truth is, when a champion stops being a champion, he's got to return the belt to the boxing federation. He didn't return it, and I had to pay almost a $4,000 fine. And he still has it, and he works. At least he worked when I met him, sweeping the streets in the south, in a town in the south. A marvelous character, as you can see. And that's Coco Chedoya. He appeared there, and Oscar Ayala, the coach. The truth was, the coach that commenced to prepare, who was his great friend at his time, Locomotora Castro, who was an ex-world champion. So therefore, these are people I always wanted to make. I'll finally end up making a boxing film, because I like boxing. almost even more than cinema filmmaking. That's why I always try to fit in a boxer, Ayala, for example, the coach Ayala. I didn't give him any dialogues. What do I do a dialogue of a person who's been 40 years in boxing? I switch on the camera and away we went. And he plays himself. If one knows, has ever met Ayala, you'll see he's exactly the same as the film. I say cut, and everything continues the same because it's the same thing. Because they're not actors, they do the same thing. We can generally play themselves. But I find them, obviously, when... And this is not dogma, but one, the character has just got to go inside, like the Marcos character. One can't do this with a non-actor. They've got to be actors. They've got to go deep into their interior. But those characters, I find them on the way, and when one travels down south, especially when there are so many few people, and where each meeting with people is an event, 300 kilometers, and the first one, after 300 kilometers, you see no one, and you find someone, it's like a big event. So you take this and you keep it in your head, in your database, the memory, shall we say, of those characters. The daughter plays the daughter as an actress. Not only is she an actress, she's an excellent actress. She's very young, and I believe, don't you think, Alejandro, she's going to have a great career. She has enormous intuition and talent. Not only does she understand that an actor, not only has to understand, they've got to know how to emanate this externally, because an actress who I believe, she's fantastic, and she's a beautiful person as well, marvelous, and a great colleague. Divine. She's got a great career ahead of her, undoubtedly. The question is for Alejandro Aguada. Julia, how are you? Good to see you. I would like to ask you whether you could tell us what was it like to work and that mixture of non-actors. You've got a lot of scenes with non-actors. How do you work upon this to achieve that bond? Naturally, that your character's got to have this man who's destroyed internally, almost, and that the work of the non-actors. That on the one hand, I would like to know. He put you on a boat, and you're not angry with the director because you almost left your soul there. Thank you. Beautiful question. Many years I've investigated myself vis-a-vis what I do to make a living. That's to say, to work as an actor, and quite fortunately, I grow year after year. And as I grow and learn, I clean myself and I get rid of millions of prejudices and concepts that I had beforehand. And I find myself all of a sudden... I encounter a great director that precisely asks me to be very precise and to be accurate and generous in that sense. I say this, it might sound a bit strange, but I say it very humbly, that I say I try to be exactly humble and generous in the way I express myself and in the way I worked. And to play the note that I had to play at those little moments, and at the service of working with non-actors, something that I had a great prejudice with, it was very gratifying and it was very enriching, because it takes away all types of superficiality, it gets rid of all types of constructions, and you have to connect with that here and now with these non-actors, obviously from the circumstances of the character, but you've got to be just as alive as they are, otherwise you get left out. And it was a beautiful experience for me in that sense, to get rid of all sorts of superficial concepts and apparatus and devices, but to be simple and humble. Alejandro, did you really get seasick? Yes, I got seasick on the... you weren't acting there, were you? You weren't. You know that Carlos didn't get on the boat. Carlos Sorin didn't get on the boat. Well, fortunately, there weren't too many takes and scenes on the boat, but whoever knows, I recommend, they've never been there, from the bottom of my heart, it's a place which is beautiful. It's very extraordinary, especially one of the first films. These are places where one has to contact with, get in touch with oneself. Internally, beautiful skies, beautiful sea, beautiful people. That's it. I would like to ask you something else, Carlos. From what you said before, the colleague upon the Bolivian character, this film has got Brazilian characters as well as a Brazilian singer, the Colombian people out in the countryside. Incorporating that great diversity of cultures of the continent in the Patagonia, which is also a bit like a Western film. I don't know how you addressed this or whether it was something unforeseen and it just emerged as things went along when you shot the film. Well, Brazil is always present in my films. The Argentinians, especially those that live in Buenos Aires, were very envious of Brazil because of its music, because of its people, because of its beautiful women and its landscape and its beaches, because of their football, obviously, soccer, that is to say. And we love them and hate them at the same time. That's how we've grown. We admire them greatly. And Brazil is always always the horizon. The Brazil or Brazilians, it's our desire. It's our wish to be there, to be like them. So, but that was it. I use Colombians because my wife is Colombian. That's the only reason or why there were Colombians. In the original script, there were Peruvians, but I couldn't find any Peruvians. So therefore, I said, let's use people from Antioquia, which is the city where my wife was born. The truth, that's the reason I use these Colombians from that city. Okay, any further questions?
Sí, pues adelante.
Can you tell, Sorin, Alejandro?
Me equivoco.
Carlos Sorin. Mr. Sorin, I'm a mistake. I'm sorry. I saw a film with a dog in Toulouse. Yes, the dog. I've got two films with dogs, but no. I've had problems with some directors, not problems, but in the discussion. What's the relationship that you have between literature and cinema? Because some filmmakers have said that don't want anything to do with literature, and I have my opinion on the contrary. I would like to know what your point of view is there. Well, cinema shares an essential element with literature, which is its narrative. I would have preferred cinema that's got more to do with music or with poetry, which is much freer, but feature films is a narrative type approach. If we could establish any correspondence between the literary forms and cinematographic forms, I think my films have got more to do with stories or tales than with novels. Novels have structures which are much more complicated, but my films are much simpler, and they have to do more with telling tales. That is to say, 80 minutes for me is a drama. The truth that I'm calculating it frame per frame. I say I'm going to present the film in 73 minutes. It's dangerous to a middle-sized film. So therefore, I do final titles that are enormous, so that I can gain a few minutes. But it is true, my film has to do with tales that are told, and they're worn out, and they are completed in the time that the film takes. 79, this one's 79 minutes, but the credits take a long time. Now that I've just come back from Buenos Aires, I met a director that you work with. He's my first short. He's a novel director, new director. He's my first short. It lasted 2.5, and I've reduced it to 110 minutes. That's inconceivable. How can you make a cut? In general, my cuts, editing takes 70 minutes, and I try to add things on, but formally, but not only in its duration or how long, but in the complexity of the plot storyline, it has a lot more to do with, I read more stories than I do novels. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you all of us. Thank you to all of you.